The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast. Good to have your company. Plenty to come on this week's edition of The Punt as well. Looking forward to speaking to Joe Bernstein from the Daily Mail. He's going to fill in for Andy Excel this week and look at the live televised Premier League games alongside Derek McGovern. That's to come on the podcast. We've also got Football League bets from Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross, and we will have a European nap from Mr. Sam Norris as well. So now, without further ado, let's get involved with the Premier League this weekend and start by welcoming Joe from the Daily Mail onto the podcast, Joe Bernstein. First of all, a good morning to you, Joe.
Good day, chaps. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good. I was at Wolves and Chelsea last night, which was very good, very raucous atmosphere at Molineux. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good game. And midweek, Joe, 20 Premier League teams scored. That's the first time that's happened in a match week since November 2010. 8 years we've waited for there not to be a single clean sheet in the Premier League in a full, complete match day, and it happened this midweek.
I'm glad you said that, because I was wondering why my defenders didn't keep any clean sheets in the Fantasy Football League, so that explains it.
Derek McGovern joins us on the podcast as well. Good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning.
Are you well?
Yeah, great. Still baffled how Liverpool are in second place after being absolutely atrocious for the first quarter of the season. Just baffles me.
Let's talk more about Liverpool, because that's the first televised game in the Premier League this weekend. They go to Bournemouth, the Vitality Stadium, to take on a Bournemouth side who are playing pretty well. They bounce back at home to Huddersfield midweek after a tough run of fixtures. And the 4-1 to win this game, Bournemouth. The draw is 100-30. Liverpool in the market 8-13. The enhancements, Callum Wilson to score in a Bournemouth win. That was 6-1. That's been boosted to 7-1. And Mo Salah to score and Liverpool to win was 29-20. That's been boosted to 7-4. As mentioned, Bournemouth beat Huddersfield midweek, Joe, with those goals coming courtesy of Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser. And Liverpool, despite Derek saying they're playing poorly at the moment, Joe, they are keeping pace with City at the top of the league, coming from one down against Burnley to win 3-1 at Turf Moor. What do you make to this fixture?
Yeah, lunchtime games can sometimes be slow burners, but you get the feeling there'll be goals in this one, and maybe early goals as well. I think 2 seasons ago, wasn't it, Bournemouth beat Liverpool 4-3 and Liverpool 4 past Bournemouth down there last season. But I just wonder if the 4-1 on Bournemouth may be tempting now that it looks like Joe Gomez, who's been part of this fantastic Liverpool defence, is probably going to miss the game. He was carried off, wasn't he, at Burnley. And when you've got someone like Callum Wilson who's banging in the goals, that will be a worry for Jurgen Klopp. And I think you could tell that by his reaction. He's not been a happy bunny in recent games, even though Liverpool's form is good. But you know, Liverpool aren't the attacking force of last season. But on the flip side, you know, they are becoming very, very hard to beat, aren't they? And I really think that any of the three outcomes is, I know it's sitting on the fence, but any of the three outcomes is possible because of the Gomez injury. Bournemouth could go for it. But you have to rightly make Liverpool the favourites.
What did you make, Joe, to Jurgen Klopp getting fined for celebrating the winner in the derby? Isn't that what we want to see, a bit of passion and excitement? And as long as either a manager or the players aren't inciting violence and getting in the face of away fans, players or managers, don't we want to see that sort of emotion from a manager?
Yes, we do, but you know there are rules, and you know Jurgen Klopp accepted the fine. I think to you know, to lynch mob or to go heavier than that was probably wrong. I think the punishment probably did fit the crime, if you like. We do want to see passion, but there is a rule, and it's been introduced for fairly good reasons for people not to encroach on the pitch, and I think Jurgen Klopp himself admitted that. You can still go ballistic and show passion, but just don't go on the pitch.
Okay, Joe thinks any three outcomes are possible in this game, Derek, and we've got to mention that Liverpool have Napoli on Tuesday as well, which might have a big bearing on this particular fixture.
Yeah, it should do. Massive game for them. I said a few weeks ago, Dave, that Bournemouth were a better side than Man United, and I got laughed at on this bullet, I think principally by you, by the way. and they're above United now. They're too big a 4-1, that's what it boils down to. I mean, when Joe says any of the three outcomes is possible, yeah, obviously it is. But in that case, go for the biggest price, and Bournemouth are, you know, massively the biggest price, far too big. Liverpool's problem for much of the last 20 years is that they've regularly outplayed teams and still found a way to lose. This season, they've been regularly outplayed and still found a way to win. I'm honestly not sure which I prefer, to be honest. I'm being honest there. I think I prefer it the way it used to be, because watching Liverpool this season has been a chore. They've been atrocious, and I don't know what it says for the Premier League that they're in second, miles clear of the rest. Because this, at the moment, this is a poor Liverpool side, and then they are a defeat waiting to happen, which sounds daft, considering they've gone 15 games unbeaten. But I'm still shaking my head watching them, thinking, how are they winning games? Bournemouth are in form. Well, I wouldn't say in form, because they haven't got a run of victories behind them, but they're playing well. They're playing better than Liverpool. And 4-1 is just ridiculous.
Give us a prediction now, Derek. How many points do Liverpool finish behind Manchester City?
What was it last season? Was it 25, something like that?
No, not that. It might have been back to Liverpool. Yeah.
It won't be that big now, because, you know, it can't be that big now. But I think City will probably have the title wrapped up by January. It can't have been 25,
can it, Derek? It can't have been that many.
I think it was last season. I think it was something like that. In fact, while I'm rambling on, I'll do a quick look as well. Yeah, City, I mean, you watched that City game the other night against Watford, and they were absolutely fantastic. I know they only won 2-1 in the end. Liverpool won 3-1. But if you compare that performance with Liverpool's against Burnley, it was 25 points, by the way. They won't finish 25 points ahead of this year of Liverpool, but they'll finish about 12 points ahead.
Okay, that's the first televised game this weekend. Moving on to the big one this weekend, Chelsea versus Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. 5:30 kickoff for this one on Saturday. Chelsea are 14-5 to win it. The draw 27-10. Manchester City 19-20. Enhancements: Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 5-1. That's been boosted to 6-1. Raheem Sterling to score and City to win was 9-4. That's been enhanced to 11-4. There are suddenly a few cracks appearing in this Chelsea team. They drew against Everton. They were thumped away from home at Spurs and then beaten at Molineux by Wolves midweek. And any pretense, Joe, that they had of winning the title is surely long gone now. The 10 points behind City going into this weekend's game. And Manchester City unbeaten in their last 14 away Premier League matches. They've won 11 of those. This could be the best side we've ever seen in the Premier League, Joe.
It could go on to develop. I think it's too early to say that at the moment. But if they can retain the title and win it next year, then I definitely think you have to put them right up there. Both games, I think, finished 1-0 last season. Antonio Conte was obviously the Chelsea manager at the time and keen on defence first. Sarri is a little bit more expansive. I was at the game, as I mentioned earlier, at Molineux. Yeah. And what was interesting to me was that obviously Jorginho was rested, but just like Dele Alli sat on Jorginho at Wembley when Spurs beat Chelsea, Morgan Gibbs-White sat on Cesc Fabregas. And so teams, opponents are beginning to find out a way of stopping Chelsea playing and dictating the rhythm. But funnily enough, I think Manchester City is so confident in their own ability, I don't think they'll necessarily try and come up with a plan, and that paradoxically might help Chelsea. Obviously, his teams, City, are in a different league, and I think Sarri has always accepted that. But Chelsea have wonderful individual players, players like Eden Hazard, who thinks he should be a Ballon d'Or contender. And these are the sort of games where they got to shine. So I always think Chelsea have a puncher's chance in games like this, because in Kante, Giroud is a World Cup winner, remember, as well. Eden Hazard, you know, they have wonderful individual players. And if City aren't quite at it, Chelsea have got individuals to hurt them. And, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's a low-scoring draw, even though the evidence suggests that City will run away with it.
27-10 for the draw in the game. If you're looking for maybe a 0-0 or a 1-1 here, the 0-0 draw is 14-1, 1-1 available at 11-2. I must admit, Derek, I looked at these prices and I was a little surprised that City weren't a shade shorter in the market. Maybe that's because of the historic record Chelsea have against Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. But having failed to win any of his first seven matches in charge of City against Chelsea in all competitions, Guardiola's won each of his last three against them. And City just a shade shorter than even money here, Derek. It was tempting to me.
Well, I think this is the first time I've ever looked at a Premier League game, Dave, and actually like the prices of the both teams. City, yeah, you're right. I can see people piling on to City, what, 4-5, something like that. But then Chelsea at home at 3-1, you think, well, hang on, how long is that? How often is that going to happen? Yeah, they've gone off the boil a bit. I think they've only won one in their last four in the Premier League, Chelsea. But I think Joe was there last night. He'll probably know better. I only saw the brief highlight. They seemed to have mullered Wolves last night and then just got floored by a couple of sucker punches. And maybe I'm wrong there. Joe will come back to me on that in a sec.
I think, and also the thing to remember is that Sarri made five changes, and some of the Chelsea team, Fabregas, Christensen, Loftus-Cheek, were making their first Premier League starts of the season. So actually they played very well for nearly an hour. But then the pace of the game or whatever, Wolves overwhelmed them for the last half hour, and that's why the match turned. But of course, the players like Jorginho will be back in against Manchester City, so they'll have some fresh legs and fresh minds against City.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call it. I mean, I look at City against Watford the other night, and they were absolutely sensational. It was like a Premier League team playing against a non-league team in the FA Cup. They looked a massive gulf in class, and yet they still almost got caught in the end. I don't feel comfortable about backing a team at odds on at Chelsea. They're too good a team, Chelsea. All the fantastic players Man City have got, and Chelsea have still got the best player on the pitch on Saturday, in Eden Hazard. He's just an unbelievable player. And when he's in your team, I think Joe mentioned the phrase, a puncher's chance. They have got a puncher's chance, and 3-1, I could never put anybody off back in City because the Mile's the best team in the Premier League, but I can't let that 3-1 go for Chelsea either. The last five times in the last five seasons, this fixture has gone 2 for Chelsea, 2 for Man City. I'm guessing the other one was a draw. So, you know, there's not that much between them. I just keep coming back to 3-1 Chelsea, Dave, being too big.
OK, just a shade under 3-1 currently, 14-5 for Chelsea to win the game. Let's move on to Leicester versus Spurs. Leicester are in the market at 29-10 currently. The draw is 5-2 with Spurs, a shade of odds on at 19-20. We do have enhancements here as well. Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win was 19-5. That's been boosted to 9-2. And Harry Kane to score in a Spurs win was 9-5. That's now 9-4. And Derek, since Leicester were promoted back to the Premier League in 2014-2015, this fixture has produced 34 goals, and only Arsenal versus Liverpool has had more in that spell. And there were 12 goals in the games between the two sides last season. I'd expect this one to be pretty entertaining too, with Spurs coming in into this on the back of that 3-1 win against Southampton on Wednesday night. And Leicester drew 1-1. With Fulham, they're now unbeaten in 7. I can see this being pretty entertaining, Derek.
Yeah, like each of the last four seasons, both sides have scored in this fixture. Yeah, I can see that happening, but it's odds on that one, unsurprisingly. I never know what to expect from Leicester. I just can't read them. They're capable of beating anybody, capable of getting beaten by anybody. The King Power used to be a bit of a fortress, but Everton have won there this season. Liverpool have. Burnley and Southampton, two shocking sides, have drawn there. So, you know, it's well within Spurs' compass to go there and win. And if you look, if Spurs put in the kind of performance they put in against Chelsea the other week, they'll win it by half-time. I've got to go for Spurs. It's a bit like that. It's a bit like the Man City price and the Chelsea against Chelsea. You look at these and you think, well, just they're getting close to even money here. This is Tottenham, you know, top side. I've got to go for Tottenham.
Spurs the bet for Derek. It still seems that Spurs are building towards something, Joe. They spent very little money in the transfer market, and Mauricio Pochettino has had to manage the situation with the new stadium as well as maintaining that top four spot. And I'm still very impressed with the work he's doing at Spurs, Joe.
Yeah, yes, they've got a slightly stronger squad than people think. People like Lucas Moura, Eric Lamella, left back. You know, if Ben Davis doesn't play, Danny Rose can come in. So they have got competition for places all over the pitch. I think the fact they didn't spend anything in the summer is so unusual. People kind of use it as a stick to beat them with. But I think Mauricio Pochettino is genuinely pleased with his squad. Like Liverpool and Napoli, obviously Tottenham have a massive game in Barcelona next week, and you do wonder if that will prey on their minds, especially in the closing stages. And the fact it's a late kickoff as well, you know, the King Power under lights, we know it's been an emotional season there. I think that all works in Leicester City's favour. I've also been a little bit disappointed with Leicester this season, because I think the squad they've got is really, really good, and I would have expected them to be slightly higher in the table than they are. But I've seen Leicester turn over Guardiola's Manchester City there, and if they get a fair win behind them, I think Tottenham could find it very, very difficult. Harry Kane is remarkable. I think only Aubameyang has scored more goals in the Premier League than him this season, and yet he's only half the player we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years, and yet he still is sniffing out chances. But I think Leicester, I say, because of the nighttime atmosphere and because maybe Spurs have that half an hour in Barcelona, I think it could be like a cup tie atmosphere, and maybe Leicester are good value.
29-10 Leicester. You mentioned Harry Kane there as well, Joe. He's actually got 13-11 against Leicester City in all competitions in his career. That's more than he's scored against any other opponent, so he loves playing against Leicester. So maybe if you're looking at Spurs in this game, that enhancement, Harry Kane to score in a Spurs win, boosted to 9-4, could look like decent value.
Yeah, can I just interject about Harry Kane?
Yeah.
I was just looking for some reason today at the BBC Sports Personality of the Year prices. Harry Kane is favourite. Did you know that? He is his favourite.
He did win the Golden Boot, Derek.
Well, all of them penalties. One on the backside. And Harry Redknapp, favourite for the Amish Club. Harry Double leading up to Christmas down to one, doesn't it?
After a few near misses in Europe, I'm playing with a straight bat this week and going for Borussia Dortmund to put away Schalke on Saturday afternoon. They've established a 7-point lead at the summit of the Bundesliga, and with Bayern having an uncharacteristically poor season, the chance of another team profiting looks very possible. Dortmund are in pole position to capitalise on that and shouldn't be dropping points here. They remain the only unbeaten side in the Bundesliga and have only dropped points on 3 occasions this season, with draws with Hertha, Hannover and Hoffenheim. Other than that, they've been faultless and have won their last 4 coming into this one. While Schalke are looking decidedly mid-table, on the other hand, they do boast a reasonably good home record, which might explain why Dortmund are an odds against price this week. But Hertha, Bayern and Werder Bremen have all been to Schalke and won, so I dare say Dortmund should be well up to matching that. It was a lacklustre draw in the Champions League against Bruges a week ago, but they bounced back with a routine 2-0 win over Freiburg last time out, and Schalke have only got 1 win to their last 5 games in all competitions, so it's surely an away victory here. Paco Alcacer has been firing them in this season. He has 10 goals in total and has notched in each of their last 3 in the Bundesliga. It's 23-10 that he scores in a Dortmund win, which is a very viable option in this one, but at the price Dortmund are, there is no need to complicate things too much. Odds against is pretty outstanding given their domination this season, and it's 11-10 away to Schalke. They'll be the nap this week.
Let's move on to Newcastle versus Wolves then next. Sunday, 4 o'clock kickoff this one. Newcastle in the betting at 15-8. The draw 2-1. Wolves are 17-10. Salomon Rondon to score in a Newcastle win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. And Raul Jimenez to score in a Wolves win was 19-5. That's been boosted to 9-2. Joe, we're close to Christmas now and another transfer window, so that means that news is circulating that Mike Ashley is preparing to sell Newcastle United, as it does every 6 months. I think it's credit to the manager and the players that they can keep focus on their efforts on the pitch, and they showed real desire and discipline to pick up a point at Goodison midweek, Newcastle United?
Yeah, I was at Newcastle's game at the last weekend against West Ham, covering for the Mail on Sunday, and the fans were revolting against Mike Cashley, of course, and they timed their protests. Ironically, they came in after 11 minutes and they walked in to find the West Ham players celebrating, because that's the time that Javier Hernandez put West Ham up. And Newcastle were pretty poor, I've got to say. A total contrast to Wolves last night. But football being football, Newcastle responded with a good gutsy point at Everton with limited possession. And I also think, having been live at Molineux, I think that would have taken a lot of effort out of the Wolves, out of the Wolves players. They really put everything into beating Chelsea. And also, what's interesting is that Nuno Espirito Santo has kept a very, very consistent lineup at Wolves and not really had a lot of selection dilemmas. But Ruben Neves, who's probably their best individual player, actually missed the game through suspension last night. And now Santo has a real problem. Do I bring Neves back or do I stick with Morgan Gibbs-White? It's a bit like the Mesut Ozil situation at Arsenal. If you have Ozil in the team, Arsenal can't press and harry maybe in the same way without him. And Wolves, certainly the physicality of their forms against Chelsea, maybe they couldn't have done that without Neves. So there'll be a little dilemma for the Wolves manager to sort out. And I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle just dig in at home. The feel-good factor, because Mike Ashley might be selling again. And, you know, a very low-scoring victory, I think, is on the cards for Newcastle.
Newcastle to win the game 1-0, available at 6-1. Maybe you're looking at 2-1 Newcastle. That's available at 10-1. Gibbs-White, Joe, received plenty of plaudits. We saw that on Match of the Day. I don't know if you managed to catch that, but they focused in on the youngster. Is that the first time you've seen him in the flesh then, Joe?
The first time I've seen him live, although I have to say, if I can I can name drop our newspaper columnist Danny Murphy, who I work with, he has been telling me to watch out for this kid, and certainly he was impressive. Danny likes his ability to pick out a pass, but what I saw against Chelsea was a fantastic engine, an ability to run in behind defenders, to really worry them, and composure on the ball. So yeah, 18 years old, it's amazing. And the Wolves manager Nuno said afterwards that this is a golden generation for the English youngsters. He mentioned Phil Foden, and he puts Gibbs-White in that category as well. And for someone from Portugal to kind of, because we can big up our own young players, but for someone to Portugal to have a look at it independently and say, yes, this crop of teenagers we've got in England is fantastic. That's really something, and Gibbs-White certainly is one of those.
Derek, how do you view this game? And Newcastle, surprisingly, they've lost 6 of their 8 Premier League home games this season.
Yeah, it'd have been terrible on home soil. But Wolves' favourites, you know, what planet is that? No, I'm not having that. And Newcastle are only 15-8 back then, given their home record. I really don't know which bet is worse. But when I find out, rest assured, I'll be on it. I've got to go for the draw on this one. I can't pick them. I mean, Wolves, funnily enough, seem to deserve their best performances when the opposition are great. You know, when the opposition let them have the ball, or rather, don't close them down. Like Chelsea, they beat them. Manchester City earlier in the season, they were fantastic at. And then they'll go and lose to the crappy teams. And Newcastle come under that heading, most certainly. I can't see, Wolves are no value at these kind of odds. But Newcastle, in front of their home fans, you think they'd inspire them. It seems to have the opposite effect. I can't back them either. So it has to be the draw, because I really don't know.
2-1 the draw in that game. And we finished the weekend with Everton versus Watford. Monday night fixture, this one, 8 p.m. kickoff. Everton 3-4 to win the game, shade of odds on. The draw 27-10 with Watford 19-5. Richarlison to score and Everton to win was 19-10. That's been enhanced to 9-4. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 15-2. That's been boosted to 9-1. And Derek, Everton have won 11 of their 12 home matches against Watford in all competitions. They drew the other one, and they came from 2 goals behind to win 3-2 in this meeting at Goodison last year. And that day, Marco Silva was the manager of Watford, and he'll be expecting to beat his former club here, I think, with Richarlison, another former Watford star, expected to feature strongly in this game as well, part of that enhancement.
Yeah, and he's a top player, Richarlison. Fantastic player. Everton were brilliant in the derby last week against Liverpool. Should have won it. I actually texted a mate during it thinking, what price Everton to finish above Liverpool this season? Because they looked the better side until that bizarre moment at the end. And was surprised they were held by Newcastle in midweek as well. Thought they'd win that convincingly. Silva's done a great job there. You know, he's revitalised the team. And he must be relieved after being in charge of relegation teams like Hull and Watford for so long to be able to walk around without dots above his head. He's riding high with Everton. And I like the look of them. I think they'll win. I mean, yeah, no one could have been impressed with Watford against City in midweek, apart from a little bit of a brief fight back towards the end. But it's unkind to grade them on that because they never had the ball, did they, for about 85 minutes. They're better than that. But Everton are a better side than Watford. And at Goodison, you know, they never seem to make too many mistakes, Everton at Goodison. I think the good things here really do.
Everton to win the game 3-4. Watford have only picked up 1 point in their last five games, Joe, and that was against Mark Hughes' Southampton. So that doesn't really count. And they made a decent fist of it on Tuesday night against Manchester City, though. So you got to balance those two factors, I suppose, here.
Yeah, first of all, I can't believe how harsh Derek is being on Liverpool. I'm looking at the league table here. Play 15, won 12, drawn 3, lost none. I mean, that's
it's a bad record, that, isn't it, Joe?
If they're no good, then I don't know what it says for the rest of the league. But no, Everton and Watford, Everton did play well. What Marco Silva is now doing a few months into the job is finding consistency in selection, consistency in pattern of play. Goodison has always, whoever the manager, has always been something of a fortress. And I think Monday night, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Watford, despite what you say, some decent performances lately. But you know, you talked about the price boost on those, and you mentioned Richarlison for Everton and Troy Deeney for Watford. Well, I think that sums up the difference in the two teams. As good a worker as Troy Deeney is, Richarlison's on a different level, and I think Everton are just slightly better than Watford. And you know, I think it'll be a home banker in the Marco Silva derby.
Yeah, like it. Everton 3-4 to win the game. Do look at that enhancement, Richarlison to score in an Everton win 9-4 here with William Hill. Joe, it's time to get your best bet this weekend then.
Well, can I go for a specific scoreline?
You can.
I think the last game, Everton and Watford. Everton don't, although they're playing well, they don't rattle in loads and loads of goals. But I think Everton 2, Watford 0 is what I would request.
7-1, Everton to win the game 2-0. Derek, your selection this week?
Right, well, in all my years of betting, Dave, I've only ever been given one surefire can't-be-beaten bet. It finished second, by the way. I'm going to give you another one now. West Ham, 13-10 at home to Crystal Palace. It should be about 1-3. That Palace are shocking. Managed by a fraud of a manager. Howie Silva is still in the job. People are getting sacked left, right and centre. And there's never any talk of Roy Hodgson getting the push. Dear me, why? West Ham are certainty. 13-10. Buying money.
And I'm going to go with Man City. I think they'll beat Chelsea. So that treble, by the way, Everton 2-0 at 7-1, West Ham at 13-10, Manchester City at 10-11, 34-1, that treble this weekend. Joe, it's been fantastic having you on the podcast.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Derek, as well.
Pleasure. Cheers, Joe.
And we're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League in the company of Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross. So over to Pete, first of all, for his best bet in the Championship.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my Championship nap this week, it seemed very simple indeed. I'm not going to play Norwich at 1-3 to beat Bolton, although I do think they win that game and do keep an eye on Norwich and both teams to score. I'm going to play Birmingham at 6-5. They've won 4 of their last 5 home games, they've scored 14 goals in the process, and they've drawn the other one, that cracker, 3-3, of course. Now, their opponents, Bristol City, in this match, and not to be trusted. Yes, they won their last away game at Ipswich, but that's Ipswich. They've also lost away at Brentford, but again, that's Brentford. They've lost at Reading, they've lost at Leeds, and they're a team, I think, really struggling for form. You're looking at a side in Birmingham who are superb at home and odds against a team who are spotty away from home and don't quite know what they want to be this season. It's easy. Birmingham, 6-5 to win the game. My nap of the week in the Championship. Let's hear from Gav Pushlowski.
My nap this weekend is all about a home side who have won 5 of their last 5 league games at home, 15 points out of 15, and they're up against a side who are visiting who have lost 3 of the last 4 games on their travels, and yet the home side are 16-5. My nap is Wickham Wanderers to beat Barnsley. Barnsley away from home this season, so far 5 victories on their travels, 4 of them are when they've been keeping a clean sheet, and yet only 2 games at home so far this season have Wickham failed to score. So when Barnsley concede, they tend to lose games on their travels, and Wickham at home have scored 12 in their last 5 games, also beating the likes of Peterborough United at home as well. So Wickham scoring big and winning plenty at home, way too big at 16-5 against a Barnsley side who are struggling on their travels. Wickham, my nap, 16-5 to win. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
It sounds crazy, but a Stevenage side who've lost 4 in 5 to beat a Lincoln side that hasn't lost in 90 minutes since October, it is not as crazy as the 14-5 makes it look. For instance, Lincoln have only played 3 league games since October. More importantly, what that 4 defeats in 5 stat for Stevenage doesn't tell you is that all of those defeats, all of them, were away from home, and 2 of those were at higher division sides in cup competitions. Broadhall Way remains Stevenage's fortress. Only sides inside the top 4 have won more home games this season. And they've actually won more home points than visitors Lincoln. Plus, Stevenage have already played and beaten Tranmere, third place Colchester, Oldham and leaders MK Dons on their own patch. And yes, Lincoln have won 5 games away in League 2. 4 of those were at sides inside the bottom 9, not like Stevenage, inside the top 9. 3 of Lincoln's last 4 away games have been to sides within 5 points of Stevenage, Tranmere, Oldham, Colchester. They won a total of 1 point from those 3 games. So it might seem a crazy bet, but it's not really, because when you have 2 sides who are best on their own patch, you back the home side. That is Stevenage at 14-5.
That's it for the podcast then, folks. Thank you to Joe Bernstein, first of all, from the Daily Mail for his contribution on the live televised fixtures ahead of the weekend's action, and, of course, to Derek McGovern. Also, thank you to Pete, Gav and Al and Sam Norris, who gave us a bet in Europe as well. Make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website at sports.williamhill.com. All the latest enhancements available on the William Hill app as well. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League, the Football League or any of the action on the continent this weekend, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.